As we look at Ephesians 4:32, it's a very simple verse, but read it with me again. He says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." I chose this graphic here, and I put it on. We have it on Facebook with the verse because it says so much. There's Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. If you've received forgiveness from Christ, you can practice forgiveness for others. As we look at this scripture, the main thing I want you to get is that you must receive and practice forgiveness if you're going to progress in your Christian life. If you cannot forgive, you cannot progress spiritually. I read a story some time ago about a young man who was a student in a Christian college, and he had a summer job working on a city bus, driving it, and he was attacked and robbed by a gang, and they hurt him pretty badly. They took his money and so on, and he went to court. And when they were convicted and sentenced, he asked the judge if he would allow him to serve their sentences. And of course, the judge said, "No, we can't do that." But he did allow him to visit them in jail. And this college student eventually won every one of those gang members to Christ because of his forgiveness for them. Now, as we look at this, we're going to sort of take the verse backwards, because we say this: number one, you need to realize forgiveness for yourself, first of all. I think that as we deal with things that need to be forgiven, we need to be forgiven first. And you remember this from Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 tells us that the price for your sins has been paid. Read Colossians with me again. Colossians chapter 2, as you turn back there, Ephesians, Philippians, then Colossians chapter 2. You remember last year when we were going through Colossians, we dealt with these verses, 2, 13, and 14, are two of my favorite verses in the scripture. And I know I say that about a lot of verses. I got a lot of favorite verses, but these are special because they talk about the fact that the price has been paid for our sins. He says in Colossians 2:13, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ." And he says this: "He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to his cross." Now, remember, the scripture tells us here and in other places that he has forgiven all our sins if we trust in Christ as Savior. And that word "all" is important there. All means all, and that's all means. That's the best definition of God. And so when we talk about having all our sins forgiven, we have lots of scriptures. If you want more, Hebrews 8:12, Romans 8:1, 33, and 34, Psalm 102:12, you name it. We got a lot of scripture that says, once you trust Christ as Savior, all of your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. And you're bound on your way to heaven to go with God. Secondly, they are blotted out. There, remember in verse 14, he says that they were blotted out. It means canceled, to obliterate, to remove completely and totally, and we are free of accusations. The idea is that no one can bring any complaint against us because he not only paid for that sin, he blotted out of his own book of sins. It's not there anymore. It was nailed to the cross and it was covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice to blot out your sins, even though they were against him. So we need to remember that. The price is paid. Number two, we are to put aside the past. So often I meet Christians who are living in the past, and they say, "Oh, you know, I'm saved, but oh, I did this and this and this back there. I cannot deal with that. I keep going back. I keep being reminded of it." And Satan uses it to keep us from getting ahead in our Christian life. Look at what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Read verse 12 with it. Paul, this is Paul's life verses, if you want to use that expression. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me." Look at verse 13. "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do," and remember this, this is important, "forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now, what he is saying is that we cannot bring the past back to relive it, but you can learn from it and you can press on and be different in the future. Remember when you have Judas in the New Testament after he betrayed Jesus, instead of turning around and being obedient, he hung himself. He couldn't take it. He couldn't deal with the past. He hung himself. Peter, remember, confessed later, and he became effective for Jesus Christ. He got things straight. We are to make a conscious choice, according to Paul there in verse 13, to put aside the sins and failures of the past, because they are under the blood of Christ. You cannot let those things eat you up. You cannot either repeat them, but you cannot let those past failures and sins eat you up. And of course, we need to press toward the mark, according to verse 14. In other words, we need to forget what's back there and reach toward being what Christ wants us to be and doing what Christ wants us to do in future days. Now, if you don't know Christ yet as your Savior, you need to put aside the past, but you can only do that after you've trusted Christ as Savior. Those sins need to be taken care of, to put under the blood of Christ. If you're a believer, you need to make a conscious choice to put aside the past, to say they're under the blood of Christ, and not allow Satan to beat you up, but to serve Christ every day. Now let's get to what we really want to talk about today, and that's in verse 32. You need to practice forgiveness toward other people. You need to practice forgiveness toward other people. You need to practice forgiveness toward other people. Now there are a lot of ideas about what forgiveness is, but forgiveness is not, look at this, forgiveness is not, number one, forgetting, but choosing not to dwell on the memory of that hurt. Remember, Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "I am pressing toward the mark, I'm putting the past aside." Some people cannot get out of the past because somebody's done something to them. And when you talk to them, it always goes back to what somebody did to me. He did this to me. She did this to me. I can't forget that. I can't forgive that. The fact that we can forget it is a lie. We really can't forget, for the most part. But we can choose to not dwell on the memory of that hurt. That when we begin, or we talked about it a little bit last week, remember? When we get angry and we keep dwelling on that and dwelling on that, it does not cure it. It makes it worse. It just builds up that hate. It builds up that aggravation. It builds up that resentment. It doesn't heal a thing to remember it. But it's choosing not to dwell on that memory of hurt. We can all think of things that somehow somebody's hurt us, and some in very terrible ways. But forgiveness is not forgetting. It's choosing not to dwell on that memory when it comes to mind. And moving on. Forgiveness is not denying, excusing, or minimizing the offense of that person. That doesn't accomplish anything. I've heard people say, "Well, you know, so-and-so did it. Oh, but it wasn't so bad." And then we have that terrible stuff building up inside. It's not denying or excusing or minimizing what people have done. Forgiveness is not based on the offender's apologies, but on your choice. God didn't wait until we said, "Oh, I'm so sorry for sinning, God," before he sent his son to die, did he? He died even while we were in our sin. He died for us. He paid for that price for our sin, even though we had not yet understood and trusted Christ as Savior. So even if you're looking for an apology from that person before you forgive, you may never get that apology, but you still need to forgive according to Christ. Forgiveness is not releasing the offender from the consequences of the civil law or God's judgment. You know, when somebody does something terrible to you, they need to pay according to the civil law. It's not saying, oh, it doesn't matter, let them go free. Or even from God's consequences, because there has to be a payment for sin. And forgiveness is not an emotion that you cannot control. I've had people say, I can never forgive that person for that. Forgiveness is a choice. Now, forgiveness is, number one, a choice. I got ahead of myself. It's a choice. It's a conscious act of your will to put the offense aside. And that's what God does in Ephesians 4:32. God chooses to forgive you based on the fact that Christ died on the cross for your sins. He says in Philippians 4:32, be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. It's a choice. It's a choice we make to put it aside. God doesn't command us to do anything that he does not give us the power to do. Forgiveness is releasing the offender from the requirement to pay you back for their act. Now, God did that for us. It trusts God to meter out justice. I've heard people say, well, I'm forgiving them, but I'm going to make them pay. That's not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness trusts God to meter out that justice. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19, we read Romans 12, 19 last week, but read that with me, Romans 12. I tell you what, read with me there in those scriptures when he says 12, 19. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. It is mine, I will repay. Forgiveness is giving up the right to hurt others simply because they hurt us. It doesn't demand vengeance. It doesn't demand reprisal. Now that's hard, isn't it? When somebody's done something terrible to you, it's not easy to say, okay, I'm not going to get you for it. I'm going to let God take care of that. But when we do all that, it releases us from all that bitterness and hate. It gives us the freedom to be able to grow. Because I said it last week, when we have that hate and that anger and that bitterness in us, who does it hurt? Does it hurt that person that really doesn't care what they did to us? Normally it doesn't. No, they don't care. They couldn't care. They might not even know that you're still angry and bitter toward them. But it destroys us. And when you talk to counselors and psychologists, one of the biggest problems people have when they come is they got that bitterness and hate towards somebody who did something to them. And it eats them up inside. And over and over, they the more they go over it, the more they sink into this funk, I guess you'd call it, this soup of bitterness and more anger. It gets worse. Forgiveness does the following things. Number one, it remembers God's forgiveness for your sins. Let me ask you, how many things has God forgiven you for? You start adding all that up. How much has God forgiven you for? Jesus told a parable back in Matthew 18 in order to explain that. Look at Matthew chapter 18 with me. And starting at verse 21, Matthew 18, 21. A lot of times when Jesus was trying to get people to understand things, he told parables. And 18 and 21, he tells a story about forgiveness, but he tells it in a way that helps them to understand the truth. Matthew 18, 21, he says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked him, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?' And Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven, but 70 times seven.'" 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." Now that is a huge fortune, many times over what you might make in your lifetime. 25. "Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go." Imagine that, owing what would be like millions to us. You're free. It's canceled. He felt sorry for him. Isn't that great? That's a wonderful story, right? Oh, but it's not over. 28. "But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That's nothing. And he said to him, 'Oh, you're forgiven because I've been forgiven,'" right? No, that's not the way the story goes. Look, "he grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded." Now you'd think this guy would be celebrating. But he finds a guy that owes him a few little things. A denarii was like a penny. And he starts choking him. Verse 29, his fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, "Please be patient with me and I will pay you back." So now you would think, well, this guy, hey, I've been forgiven millions. What's a few pennies? No, he doesn't do that. 30, he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. So when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. 32. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Ooh. Strong words. Strong words. So, forgiveness does the following. It remembers God's forgiveness for our sin. You have somebody that hurt you? You don't want to let it go? How much did God forgive you? How many times have you hurt somebody else? How many things have you done against God? And he forgave everything. In fact, he gave his son to pay for your sin debt. Don't be like this man who went after somebody else for small debt. And he had forgiven all these millions of dollars. Sin resists temptation to demand repayment for wrongs done. Remember back in Romans 17, we read that again. And remember what he said? Rather than trying to get back at somebody, do what? Do good things for them. Practice the law of love. Go back with me and read the rest of Romans 12 there. Look at Romans 12. read the rest of it. We read the first part. We read 17 through 19. He said, let God take care of it. But in verse 20, he says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Now, what's he saying there? Rather than trying to destroy somebody who's hurt us, we do what? We help them. That's what that young man did back that had been robbed by that gang. He reached out to them and he shared the forgiveness of God with them. And he eventually won every one of them to Christ. Now, there are some people that you cannot be around. They're dangerous, okay? Somebody that tried to kill you, I don't think you can go and, you know, and invite them into your house. We have to be careful. But we have to show the love of God to them in spite of what they've done. Forgiveness remembers God's forgiveness, resists temptation to demand repayment, and relates our forgiveness and the reasons for that forgiveness to the offender. Now, you may not always be able to do that either. Somebody who's done something bad to you may not be alive anymore or available where you can do that. But what's the reason for saying, I forgive you, and here's the reason? It gives you a chance to share the gospel to them. God's forgiven me of my sin. Christ died on a cross and paid for your sins. You can't get to heaven without trusting Him as your Savior. I did that, and that's why I forgave you, because God forgave me. Now you need to do that as well. Wouldn't that be amazing to be able to do that? I read a story about a couple whose young son had been murdered by another young man who tried to rob him. And they went to court and heard the details of how that young man murdered their child. And after the trial was over and he was convicted and put in prison, they asked for permission to go see this young man every time they could. And as they went to prison, this young man who had nobody coming to visit him was visited by the people whose son he had murdered. And they brought him his needs. They helped him. And every time they talked to him about the love of God. And they shared the Bible with him. They shared the reason that they forgave. Because God had forgiven them. And eventually, that young man trusted Christ. And finally, asked him forgiveness for what he had done to their son. That takes a lot of grace, doesn't it, to do that kind of thing? But that's what it takes for some people to hear the truth of God. Now, maybe while I've been talking about this, you've been thinking about somebody who did something terrible to you. And you've had problems forgiving them. It may be something awful. But we have to go back to Ephesians 4. Forgiving each other just as in Christ, God forgave you. I want you to do something today while we bow our heads. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you need to trust Him today, okay? You've heard me say it over and over. You come to God. You admit your need. You trust in my faith instead of you. But if there's somebody that you need to forgive, small or big, name their name before God quietly in your heart and ask God to help you to forgive them. Pray with me. We're going to be quiet for just a few minutes. If you've already trusted Christ, thank Him for your salvation and forgiveness. Now, that person or persons that you need to forgive, Just name their name before God quietly in your heart. Ask Him to give you the grace to lay aside their offense and to not seek vengeance. Just give them to God. Now ask God to give you the courage to talk to them and to tell them you've forgiven them and to share the gospel of God with them if you can. Heavenly Father, we can never progress in our spiritual life if we're not willing to forgive. And there are many hurts out there, some that are awful. The things that people have done that they don't care about, that have wiped out lots of folks. They've torn them up for life. They've scarred them in terrible ways. Help us each one to forgive for those things, to put them aside, to not demand payment, to allow you to take care of them. And then by grace to share that forgiveness with that person. And share the forgiveness that comes through the cross for our sins. Lord, I pray that you help anybody who's never trusted you as their Savior to do that today. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.